I won't be preaching. I'll be sharing what the Lord has been laying on my heart lately and in our house group, how the Lord has been leading us. I think Sister Success had laid the foundation of one thing I'll be talking about today. She said the name of the baby is Aliyah. One of the names of the baby is Aliyah, which means to read the Torah. Reading the Word of God. And that's really the purpose, the purpose of tonight's of this evening's message to the church is really to draw attention to reading the Word of God more. In our house group, we did a survey of what, you know, as we started the year, that what are the spiritual goals that did we set for ourselves? What are the things that we committed ourselves to before the presence of our Father, of what we want to do this year, of how we want Him to help us to grow in love of Him, to grow in faith in Him. Because if we read the Gospels, especially the New Testament, you will see a lot of reference to the apostles, the children of God, the fellowship, growing in love, growing in faith in Christ Jesus. And I have some few slides here. They're not many, so I'm going to try and keep it short. And I pray that the Lord will really drive His word into our hearts this morning. So as I start, let us start with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You, we give You praise. For You, O Lord, our God, You are our Father. You are the one who made us. You are the one who created us. And You created us for a purpose, O Lord, which is to bring joy to Your heart, which is for us to be Yours totally and truly, for our lives to be dedicated unto You. You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we can be reconciled back unto Yourself, so that we'll have the same fellowship, O Lord, that You ordained in the beginning when You created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and You used to come down in the evening, in the cool of the day, to fellowship with them. Lord, we pray that, Lord, even as we go through this time of sharing Your word, of looking into Your word, we pray that, Lord, You please shine Your light on Your word in our hearts, O Lord. Lord, we pray that, Lord, we'll have the experience that the disciples had, O Lord, in Acts chapter 1-2, O Lord, where You came down, O Lord, and You spoke to the people in the language that they understood, O Lord. We pray that, Lord, Your word will become flesh within us, O Lord, and it will dwell in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls, O Lord. That, Lord, You help us, O Lord, to grow more in faith in You, in love of You, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Heavenly Father. We pray that, Lord, You please breathe upon the letters of Your word, O Lord. Let them become life in our hearts, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we took a survey in our fellowship as to what we want to do. And, you know, a lot of us said, oh, we want to read the Word of God more. We want to pray more. We want to evangelize more. We want to share the Word of God more. You know, but the one that the Lord laid upon my heart is for us to read the Word of God more. I have been, well, me and Kike, when we moved to the US, we moved in 2001. So we've been here at least 20 something years now. And the Lord was challenging me that, you know, how many times have I read the Bible through, from Genesis to Revelation? My emphasis today is really going to be on reading the Word of God. There are so many past aspects of understanding God's word. There's the meditation, there's the, one verse at a time in which you can chew on and chew on and chew on. But also there's a part in which we have to read wider. We have to spend more time, especially, I mean, we are in a season now, Corona, in which we are all at home now, that we have to spend more time in God's word, in knowing what he has written for us, in knowing what God is heart, that he has the desire of God's heart for us. I took it that one of the my goals as well is that I'm going to read the Bible through again. I picked it up and I'm starting to read. I've read it quite a few of times, and I'm not saying this to boast or to, but it's really to encourage our hearts that we have to spend more time in the Word of God. There's a reason why God wrote the book of Genesis for us, why he gave us the book of Exodus, Leviticus, all these books, Numbers, Job, Jeremiah, Nehemiah, Nahum, Habakkuk. There's a reason why God went to great length to record and pen down these words for us. And we cannot take the word of God lightly. So my emphasis this morning is really just reading the word of God, reading the word of God. No matter how mundane it may sound, we have to read the word of God. We have to spend time in reading it. There are some books that the genealogies may be tiring to read or difficult to read, but they are not. There's a reason why God wrote those things down. And as I'm going through the word of God again, I'm seeing things that I didn't even see before. Things that were, that may, I may have glossed over in the past. And, the Holy Spirit is drawing my attention to some of them, and I'm going to share some of those things with us this morning. So, why should we read the Word of God? It's good for our spiritual growth. Please, I'm going to ask for two people to be my reader this morning. His sister, Bookie on today.
Yes, I am.
Okay. So please, Sister Bookie, I'm going to be asking you to read NLT version. So if you can just have the NLT version open. And Sister Wura, New King James Version. I'll have you read the New King James Version. So wherever you see, if I ask you to, when we open on the slide, just have those scriptures queued up. And I'm okay, I don't see every faces, but I'm going to be asking us, Bradebo, Mr. Folashade, Shade Akingbade, Sister Ade Ronke Ibiroba, the Adenuga family, Kiki, Kanyi Fimiyo. Can we say, have we read the Bible true and true? Are we spending time? Are we taking time to read the Word of God? Titi, Tomidare, especially our younger ones, our children who are in college. I asked my son to bring me two of his books. This is Algebra, Integrated Science. See how big it is? Algebra 1. See how big this book is? And it's only in middle school, right? These are books they have to go through. These are books that you guys have to go through. You read these, right? And the Bible is smaller than that. And that is just one subject. Our Bible is smaller than that. So we have no excuse, really, not to spend time in God's word. If God could take time to put these words down for us to read it, we have to spend time reading it, getting to know God, getting to know our Father, getting to know Jesus. We have no excuse. I would say there are sometimes, it depends on how we read. Sometimes we just read. I would say just, even just start by reading it as a novel.
pick it up and just read it as a novel. It's like the way when we were preparing for our subjects, I remember how I was preparing for exam, I just take a subject and just read through it, just get a general overview of what this subject or this topic is trying to teach me. Then later on, as time goes on, I will now start spending more time in going to the detail, the minute detail, the meditation, the rumination, in which you will now start paying attention to certain words, certain keys, certain, why is he saying this? Why did he say it this way? Why did he say it that way? But first of all, as children of God, we have to spend time in reading the word of God. It's what we read that we will meditate upon. But if we don't take our time to spend time in reading what God has even jotted down for us, how would we know? What would prevent us from being carried away by false doctrines? How would we be able to identify when we see something that's not right? As Brother Dapo used to share with us, which is true, that bankers, bank tellers, they teach them, how do they know a fake note from a real note? They don't teach them, give them a bunch of fake notes. They give them the original note, and they will study every single aspect of that note, from the lettering, to the numbering, to the feel of the paper, the smell of the paper, the design of the paper by looking at it, by holding it up. They get them to know the intrinsic little details of a note, of a real original note, so that when a fake is put in their hands, by just touching it, they easily know that this one is a fake. And when you see fake, if you are somebody who likes watching, I like watching crime, American Greed and things like that. I remember watching a program in which just a bunch of young boys went and started printing dollars, and they were able to get the paper that was used for printing dollars. I think they were from Ohio or Chicago, one of those areas. And they did it for several, they were doing it for, it took a while before the FBI could catch up with them, thinking that they were a syndicate somewhere from Russia or this, but these were homegrown, just young high school students who were just using photocopy machine in their house to do this thing. And they were able to get the paper that they use in printing banknotes. So we have to spend time in the Word of God. Let's just read it first. In 20 years that we have been here, how many times have we read the Word of God through? What literatures are we reading that will help us to grow spiritually? That will help us to love God more, to know Him more, to grow deeper in faith? So I may go off a little bit off the this, I guess. But Sister Buki, please, could you read 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 1 to 2 in the NLT version? And Sister Wura, after that, you can read the New King James Version.
First Peter 2, verse 1. So get rid of all evil behavior, be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment.
Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So what will help us to lay aside malice, deceit, hypocrisy, evil speaking? Is through the word of God. As we have been born again, are we born? I guess we can first ask ourselves, are we born again? If you are born again, then born again means a new birth, right? That if we are born again, we are like newborn babies. And a newborn baby would, once the baby is born, the first thing it will gasp for is air. Once it's gotten air, the next thing it will be crying for will be food. nourishment, spiritual nourishment. And in eating the word of God is what will help us to get rid of all this. Because when we are born again, yeah, the Lord turns us around. That makes us to realize that, oh, we are doomed for death unless we have the Savior as our, unless we have the Lord as our Savior, receive the Lord as our Savior. The flesh is still there, but it's true growing that will start dropping all these desires of the flesh will start dropping away. And I noticed that in my life that the more I, you know, spend time in God's word, that's when sin, the grip of sin loses. And I'm sure that a lot of us can testify to that. And I'm wanting to challenge all of us daily. Let's spend time in the word of God. Tosin, Sister Tosin, let's spend time in the word of God. Soji, as you are studying at University of Maryland, studying the word of God is much more important. Our spiritual growth is much more important. Because at the end of the day, this life is just for this life. There's nothing we can take out of it. Our degrees, our PhD, we can't take them with us. We're going to drop them here. But the thing that is more eternal, we have to make sure that we don't, we shouldn't take it with levity. So we need to, you know, in order for us to grow, we have to spend time reading his word, knowing what the Lord has set for us. Why should we read the word of God? It purifies, it keeps, it loosens the grip of sin, and it guides us. Psalm 119, if you read the whole of Psalm 119, it's dedicated to us, you know, it talks about the excellency of God's word and the work that it does in our lives. And I've just listed out some few verses that we are familiar with or that may come back to us. That's where that scripture is from. The first one, verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed according to your word. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God. Your word, verse 11, your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. How is that possible? Your word have I hidden. If we don't read the word of God, we won't even know what he's saying. To even talk less of hiding it in our hearts, we have to first read it. We have to now, before we can now internalize it, and it will now do the work that is meant to do in our lives. So we have to hide the word of God in our hearts. And we can only do this by reading. We have to first start by the basics. I know there's a lot more about the word of God, but let's first start with the basic, the fundamental. Let's open our Bibles and read them. We have them in different formats, in different fashions, in different ways that you can read them. Let's open our word. Let's have a plan of reading God's word. Verse 50 says, this is my comfort and in my affliction, for your word has given me life. There's sometimes in which we go through difficult times, and it's the word of God that can only comfort us. But if we are not opening the word of God to not even know what he's saying, how would we be able to get comfort from the Lord? Brother Benga said last week that God is always speaking to us. And he said that God is speaking to us always through his word. You may not have the gift of prophecy or of seeing the future, but God has given us prophecy in this world. He has given us everything that we need. He may just give us Jara on top of it by giving us the gifts of prophecy to know, you know, certain things or whatever that pertains to the future. But let's first start. The word of God gives us comfort, but we only know the comfort of the Lord in our afflictions when we spend time in reading his word. Verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. And that is it. What God has said he would do it. So the word of God purifies, it keeps us, it loosens the grip of sin, and it guides us.
In verse 103, he says, how sweet are your word to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet, verse 105, and a light to my path. A lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It guides us, it protects us, it leads us. We read of the children of Israel when they were coming out of Egypt into the promised land. At night, the Lord provided them with light, the fire that goes us to lighten their path, to light the path of which they were going, and cloud to protect them from the scorching sun. That is what the word of God does. It is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Another point I have here is that it is God speaking to us and is a collection of our Heavenly Father's words to us. Sister Buki, can you read Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2, please?
Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe.
Hallelujah. Amen. And if you can open up 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 through 21. In that one, that in the Hebrews that we read, long ago, God spoke to us many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. When we read the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament was pointing towards Jesus. And now in the New Testament, Christ now came. And it's pointing towards the hope that we have in him, the future that we have in him. God paid, he took his time to give us this word. God is our maker, he's our creator. He's the one who has redeemed us. So we can't, it's like our computers that we use. If you don't have the Microsoft or whatever in it, and we just ignore it and say, okay, we switch on the computer and say, let it work, it won't work. God who has given us a manuscript of what we should follow, we have to open that word. He took his time to do it. When we look at what he had, the price that he paid, this word was created 6,000, 7,000 years ago. But God preserved this word. When we look at the events that have happened over the years, the flood that happened in the days of Noah. But yet God made it possible to preserve the story, the history of creation, so that we can read it, so that we can know about him, so that we can know, what he is. So why are we not spending time in reading the word of God? My daughter in her class, one of their memory verse, which she's been saying over and over again, is that if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we don't know the commandments of God, how will we even know what to keep? If you don't know the heart of God, how will we know what to keep? We cannot but go back to scriptures and read our scriptures. There are some times in which I remember when I was in the military, similar to the National Guard here, the Territorial Army in the UK, the first thing that you would do is that they first take you through drilling. You will march, left, right, and you'll be wondering that, why are you doing this thing? You will do running. Your bones, when you first start it, every aspect in your body will say, no, I don't want to do this. This thing is not natural. To get up and go and do 3-mile run, 6-mile run early in the morning, your body will kick against it.
But as you do it, as you do it, as you do it, it becomes easier. It becomes part of you. Psychologists say that one forms a habit within 30 days or so or thereabouts. If we are not spending time in the Word of God, and we're not creating that habit, we'll always find it difficult to read the Word of God. So we have to, and Paul will use so many examples of, examples of a boxer or of a soldier in his, when he's teaching. So we also have to implement some of these things. Sometimes, yeah, it may be mundane to just start reading the genealogies of, but there's a reason why God put those things down. So we can't but do that. Sister Buki, can you read 2 Peter 18 to 21, please? And Sister Kura, 1 Timothy 4, 13.
2 Peter.
Chapter 1,
okay. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your hearts.
Thank you. So this was Peter speaking, referring to the experience on the transfiguration, in the time of transfiguration. What I wanted to bring out here is where he says you must pay close attention to what they wrote. And if an apostle of the Lord who was with Jesus was saying that we should pay close attention to what is written in his word, we have to pay close attention to his word. Since they are like lamps shining in dark place until the day dawns and Christ the morning shines in our hearts, until Christ is fully formed in us. There's something that the word of God does. How he does it, we don't know. But we know that there's something, as the word of God enters us, it starts to refine us, it starts to purify us, it starts to cleanse us. And I'm sure that if you put it into, I'm sure that a lot of us can testify to that who are here, because some of us have been Christians for several years. There are some things that we used to do in the past that we don't do anymore. It's the power of, that's the power of the word of God. Sister Wura.
1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine.
So this is Paul speaking, telling Timothy that he should give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. In the NLT, it says that until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Focus on reading. Focus on reading. It's an important part of reading the word of God. We can't shy away from that. We have to spend time in reading. And that's the purpose in which of my sharing today, which is to encourage us to really start, find joy in reading the word of God. Let's cultivate that habit of reading the word of God. Let's put it into practice. There's a scripture, I've forgotten where it is, where it's something about grace, that through exercising of grace, or through exercise, grace is something to do with that. Grace is perfect. That if we don't put something into practice, we won't see the benefit of it. It wouldn't become part of us. There's something that we have to do. God has made the provision available for us. But if we don't step into it and start, taking hold of those things and putting them into practice, it's just going to be a word that sits on the shelf and we don't benefit nothing from it. So this slide about how do we read the word of God? Firstly, we have to read it prayerfully. We really need the help of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that creates the desire within our heart. to read his word. So we have to pray. If you don't have the desire to read the word of God, let's pray. God, please put that desire in my heart. Put the desire of loving your word, of wanting to spend time in your word in my heart, of just, you know, opening your word to read it. An example that comes to my heart is the example of the eunuch in Acts chapter 8, who was reading the word of God. He had the desire to read the word of God. He was reading it and reading it, but he didn't have the understanding of it. God is the one who now brings the understanding. But if we don't have the desire to read it, God is not going to step in to do his own part. The eunuch had the desire, and he was reading it, even though he didn't understand it at that point. Then the Holy Spirit now stepped in, sent Philip to explain what he was reading to him. The Holy Spirit now brought understanding. Let's prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to help us in spending time in the Holy Spirit. Set a time frame that works for you. Are you a morning person, afternoon person, evening person, or are you a night person? Have of the 24 hours that God has given us, let's have some time that we set aside to read the word of God. The next point I have here is choose a version that you easily understand, that you can easily read. Rabbi Bumi likes reading the Old King James Version. If I read it, I hardly can get through the Old King James English. So I prefer the New King James Version. Some people like the NLT, ESV, Amplified Version. Find a version that works for you. There are various resources that are available to us. There's audio Bible, online Bibles, online resources. The one that I discovered recently is this Bible Hub that gives you, you know, a verse in different versions at the same time. The Bible Project is a very good tool that Kike introduced to me, which I've been using now. It helps, you know, if you want to do a character study, a book study. It gives you a summary in graphics that, you know, before you even, so that when you are reading it, it becomes, you know, you understand what the word of God is saying. So these are all tools, and I'm going to go through, if time permits, I will go through one with us. BlueLetterBible.org has various Bible plans which you can use. You can read the Bible in chronological order, in historical order, in life journey order, in canonical order. There are different orders. I'm using the chronological order right now, in which it brings all the events in different books that happened as they happened together. So if you are reading an event in 1 Kings, it's also bringing in the events, how it was recorded in Chronicles, in other books, in I think Isaiah. So there are some events that like that, that are recorded in the same events that are recorded by different people. So you can read different perspectives at the same time. So let's start using the resources that's available to us, because we, you know, lo and behold, we're not going to have any excuse. The same standard that God held the apostles to, the same standard that he held Noah, the people of Noah to, is the same standard that he's going to hold us to. It's not like nowadays that to get a child to pass, we bend the curve, right? God is not going to bend the curve for us. It's the same, you know, when we see that example over and over again, the Bible will say that, like the days of Noah, why people were eating and drinking and giving their children in marriage. It's not going to change the standard for us now that we are, the world population is in its billions now. It's not going to change the standard because we are more compared to maybe, you know, they were fewer in those days. It's the same standard that he held them to that is going to hold us to. But we need to know what God's heart is, and we'll know it through reading the word of God. Adopt a learning methodology that works for you. Some people are auditory. I think I'll put some notes down on what that means. Some retain information through hearing, speaking, and listening. Some are visual. They retain information through seeing. Some are kinesthetic, that you like to do things. You like to put them, you know, practicalize what you are reading. Whatever method works for you, put them into practice. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We're almost there. So what are the things I just want to share of what I have been learning so far now from reading, picking up the Bible, and I'm reading it through. Some of the things that I may have glossed over in the past. Now, I'll just take some few examples. In Genesis chapter 5, Sister Wura, please, could you read Genesis chapter 5 for us?
The whole of chapter 5, sir?
Yes.
Okay. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day that they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died.
Can you move forward to verse 25 now and read it? 21, please, from 21.
21. Enoch lived 56 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 350 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years. And had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has caused." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth.
Thank you. Sister Buki, please, could you open? So what I learned from here, I was wondering, why was God saying, you know, he had sons and daughters and he died, and he would mention certain names, or he would mention key into just one name. Like when we read this, we see Adam having Seth, names that were mentioned: Seth, Enosh, Canaan, Mahala, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Noah. Then Noah had, then he mentioned the names of the three sons that Noah has: Shem, Ham, and Japheth. If you go to Luke 3, verse 36, so God was showing us from when Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that he created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. But after Adam sinned, God had to come back and put something, a motion in plan a plan in motion, I say motion in plan, a plan in motion to redeem mankind. And God took time to write down the names of, you know, of who that seed was going to come through. If you go to Luke 3:36, it will make sense to us why God is, you know, wrote this down earlier. And now when we read the account of Luke, pointing back of how Christ came through Joseph and Mary, his father. So Sister Buki, please, could you read Luke 3:36 to 38 for us?
Shelah was the son of Canaan. Canaan was the son of Arphaxad. Arphaxad was the son of Shem. Shem was the son of Noah. Noah was the son of Lamech.
Exactly. If you read the whole of that from Luke, where he was talking about the genealogy of Christ, the Old Testament points towards, was pointing forward to the coming of Christ, to the coming of our Savior, our Redeemer. Some of this, as I wrote down here, that some readings, especially genealogy, may be boring, but they hold certain facts for us to know. If God could preserve these names, there's a reason why he wanted us to know it. There's a reason why he wanted us to just know it. You know, it shows about God's redemption plan to redeem mankind, of who, you know, that information could have disappeared, could have been destroyed, but God preserved his word for us. Another thing I've been learning in Genesis, another thing I learned from Genesis, that Genesis chapter 5, and he begot Noah. Lamech lived 595 years, and he had sons and daughters. If you look at every name that was mentioned, he said that they had sons and daughters. They had sons and daughters. And he only took the line of Seth, right? There's also the line of Cain was not even mentioned here, right? So Cain too has also been multiplying on another side. So the earth was populated. History has it that before the time of Noah, the world at that time was about, the earth was about 1700, 1800, under 2000 years old. It was vastly populated. Noah, Sister Wura, could you go open to 2 Peter chapter 5, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And this one is just to show you what I have been learning from just picking up the Bible again to read it through again, and you know, some things that I may have missed in the past that is now coming, making sense to me, that I'm learning from.
2 Peter 2:5, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly.
Noah had brothers, he had sisters, right? It wasn't just Noah that his father gave birth to. He had brothers, he had sisters. That's what the Bible says. He said that Lamech had Noah and her sons and daughters. Noah had, he had cousins, he had uncles, he had aunties. He had generations, distant cousins, distant uncles, distant. But the Bible says, like the days of Noah, like we are now, nobody's paying attention to the message of Christ, of our Savior. And he says that Noah preached, he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached to these people, but they didn't pay attention to him. And yet God destroyed it. These are some of the scriptures that really makes me afraid, because if God could destroy wipe out the whole universe and just preserve eight. Noah, the Bible says that he found favor in God. I don't know how true it is, but it's historically said from research I did that it took him about 100 and something years to build the ark. That ark, when I was reading, converting the dimension of the ark into a modern day length and breadth, the ark was about 137 meters long. That's longer than a football size pitch. It was about 23 meters wide. It was 14 meters high. It seems as if God knew that the hearts of men will be totally, it was recorded that the heart of men was terribly wicked. Right? So, but it didn't take God, he didn't flinch to destroy that whole world. So we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We can't take it with levity. We can't take the word of God with levity. We can't take our relationship with God with levity. He pained God to destroy the world, but he had to do it. And it's recorded that Christ is coming back for us. We have to be prepared like the five wise virgins. Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? All our buying and selling is just to put food in our mouths, really, to make us a little bit comfortable. But we cannot, at the expense of our physical comfort, to ignore the spiritual aspect of our lives. We have to spend time in the Word of God. I remember for those who may have grown up in Nigeria, high school, secondary school, there's this Gideon Bible that we used to get for free. And I remember in one of the pages, I think in one of the introductory pages, it's written in that book that this book will keep you from sinning, or sin will keep you from that book. I remember that that phrase in that book. Which part of the pendulum of that scale are we? Is the book keeping us from sinning, or is sin keeping us from that book? The Word of God wants to purify us, to keep us from sinning. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it's really encouraging us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Christ paid a dire price for it. What he did for us to redeem us back to God, to redeem us, to give us, to enable us to have that experience of the Garden of Eden. That's the purpose of God, is to restore that relationship back to us. He paid that price. And in paying that price, he noted the price that he paid in this book that we have, that is given unto us. So we have to really take the Word of God seriously, that we are taking it. Brakune was encouraging us that we should attend Bible studies. We should attend prayer meetings. It is for our benefit. At least now in this lockdown, we have no excuse, really. Because we are using Zoom. At least before, we knew that, okay, perhaps you walk, and you're tired, and that's why you can't drive to the church. Well, now that we have no excuse. None of us has an excuse. All you children who are on this thing, all of you have Zoom on your phone. We all have Zoom on our phone. You can use it. Use this technology to the benefit of to benefit your soul. We have no excuse not to be in prayer meeting. If we are not in prayer meeting, we are just telling God that, no, I don't need your help, really. Because a place of prayer is a place where we're kneeling down to God and saying, God, we need your help. Help me. Save me. These are my situation. Resolve it for me. But if we're not coming to prayer meeting, we are pretending we haven't started yet. Prayer is coming to God and begging him and seeking his face and saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help. I will conclude with this chapter. Sister Buki, if you can please read, Sister Wura, if you can please read it in the New King James Version, Deuteronomy 17, 18 to 20. And this is where Moses was given an injunction, even before the children of Israel, later on in down the line, many years down the line, before they started asking for a king, as if God knew that they were going to ask for a king. And, you know, God was given an instruction as to who the king, you know, what he expected of that king to be. It was a prophecy, yet it's a word that really, even though he was talking to a king, it applies to us as well. And I'm concluding with this word that we should allow the word of God to put the fear of God in us. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we do not fear the Lord, we will just be, you know, living our lives anyhow with no sense of accountability. But we are going to account for our lives. What we do is going to affect us. It's going to affect our future. Before you read that passage, I remember my grandmother, my mom's mom, sitting behind me here. She wasn't educated. She didn't go to school. But the only book that she was able to read is the Bible. When I go to visit her in Elisha, when we were living in Ibadan back then, and I'll be looking at that and she will be reading the Bible. That's the only book that she could read. And it used to marvel that this woman never went to school. How does she know how to read this Bible? If you write her a letter and give her a letter to read, she will call somebody to come and read this letter. I don't know if it was because of the lettering or the handwriting, but the only book that I will see her read by herself is the Bible, the Yoruba Bible. She had that desire to do it. When I go to visit her in the early in the morning, she was one of the sweepers of the church. She would have woken up in the morning to go and sweep the church before I, and I'd be wondering, where are you coming from? She said, I just went to the church to go and pray and sweep the church. What legacy are we leaving our children? Sister Wura.
And he shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes.
Verse 18 to 20.
Oh, from 18. And it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, from the one before the priest, the Levites, and he shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, and be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I just wanted to zero in on that verse 19, that he shall read. He first told him to copy it. We don't need to copy. We already have various copies in various versions available to us nowadays. We have it in electronic on our phone, you know, different versions on our shelf. Let's pick up the Bible. And he says he should read it so that he will fear the Lord. If we don't read the word of God, we would not start knowing who God is. We won't start knowing who God is. And it's from reading the word of God that we will know who he is. May the Lord help us to cultivate the habit of reading the word of God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word today. We pray that, Lord, please magnify it, O Lord, in the hearts, O Lord, of each and every one of us, Father.
pray that, Lord, you would help us, O Lord, to find joy and fulfillment in reading your word, O Lord. Help us to set time aside to study your word, to read your word, to meditate on your word. We pray that, Lord Jehovah, you would enable us, O Lord. Quicken our mortal flesh, our spiritual eyes, O Lord, our mind of understanding, Lord, that we would take delight, we would see what you are saying to us, O Lord, that your name will be glorified, O Lord, that would help us, it will help us to grow deeper in love with you, to grow in faith in you, Father. That, Lord, we'll measure up to the standard that you expect of us, O Lord, we pray. Pray, O Lord, for all our young ones, our young adults, O Lord. We pray that, Lord, you would help them, Father, as well, to keep them, O Lord, in the path of righteousness, Father. Pray for all of us, all parents here, O Lord, our grandparents, every one of us, O Lord. Pray that, Lord, you would turn our hearts even unto yourself, Lord, that your name will be glorified and your name will be praised. In Jesus' mighty name I pray.
Amen. Amen.